I'm going to introduce our guest for this evening. And our guest is, I asked him how to say his name before we went live, and now I hope I don't mess it up, Dr. Bernard Straley. And he is a doctor of chiropractic, and he's the chief clinician at the Total Wellness Center in Syracuse, New York. He achieved his chiropractic doctorate from New York Chiropractic College back in 1994, and his academic background from his native Germany is in mathematics and psychology. He's been involved in clinical research for many years. He's the author of several books. His latest, 1000 Shades of Pink, who I'm interested to know about that. He's versed in diversified chiropractic, NAET, applied kinesiology, acupressure, and natural medicines. He's the founder of the SHOW method, an epigenetic healing technique, and the developer of the IMAET system, an advanced stress relief device. So we have lots to talk about just from his bio. So welcome to the show. Did I get your last name? Did I do it, Dr. Straley?
Perfect, yes.
Oh, good.
Bernard Straley.
Very nice to have you here.
Thank you, Dr. Stills. Pleased to be here.
So just from reading your bio, I have lots of questions, but maybe you could just tell our listeners, just introduce yourself a little and tell us how your journey, was it a personal journey? How did you end up in healthcare? Were you ill? Was someone you knew ill, or just something you always wanted to do?
Well, actually, it's something I've always wanted to do, even as a youngster. However, my father is an aerospace engineer, and he wanted me to be an engineer, and so my initial education was pushed in that direction. But then eventually, you know, as I got older and matured, you know, was in charge of my own life, I changed. So that's where the math and the physics and that background comes from.
I think sometimes it's so powerful when you have a background like that and then you become a physician rather than just becoming a physician. Because I know I just became a physician, and I could never create quantum physics things because I don't have that kind of background. So it's wonderful that you were able to put all your education combined together to be able to help patients. I just think that's fantastic. First off, I'm just curious to know about this book, 1000 Shades of Pink, because I don't know if you know, but I'm obsessed with red and my brand is red and I'm all about color. So what is this 1000 Shades of Pink?
Well, it's just a title, you know. But basically, it refers to the fact that, you know, health and life is very multifaceted, you know. And even if you, so if you look, for example, at medical diagnosis, no matter what it is, you know, just pick one. I was, you know, just talking an hour ago to a new patient, and she has a history of breast cancer in 2019. And no two breast cancers are the same. It's all the same diagnosis, breast cancer, but... And nowadays, at least, you know, we're differentiating a little better and more about the genetic background of that cancer, you know, if it's androgen positive or BRCA1 positive or BRCA2 positive or HERS negative. And we're starting to consider more detailed information about the background of, in this case, the pathology. So since I have kind of... gone over to energy medicine, you know, it's even more extreme, you know. I mean, it's so detailed, and that's where the 1000 shades come in. If, you know, if I ever write a sequel, it will be the 10,000 shades of pink.
I love it. It's like 50 shades of gray, 1000 shades of pink, but it is true. Everyone is unique. We're all bio-individuals, and no, whether it be breast cancer or any disease process, it's always multifactorial. It's why when patients say to me, what do you do for this? Or what's your protocol for this? And it's not so easy to just say, oh, we do X, Y, and Z, because everyone has a different genetic makeup and different emotional. And
you have to take that into consideration for sure.
Exactly, exactly. So you are the founder of the SHOW method and the developer of the IMAET system. So which one, because I am curious about both, which one shall we talk about first? Which will one be?
I don't know. So the IMAET system is a quantum biofeedback device that kind of evolved out of the evolution of energy medicine and technology, which kind of started way back when with the German physician, Dr. Voll. You know, after he came back from China studying acupuncture, he came back to Germany and he was like, okay, well, this is too complex. Like, where do I put the needle? You know, it's like, where exactly is the point? And so he needed some technology to find the point quickly, you know, and say, okay, here it is, and put the needle in. And so he developed this EAV technology way back in the 60s, you know, electroacupuncture after Dr. Voll. So that was kind of the start. I mean, besides people like Royal Rife, you know, who developed frequencies to kind of kill parasites and such with their own resonant frequencies. But as far as getting into the regulation of the energy flow of the body is concerned, you know, Dr. Voll was kind of the first one that I studied. So ever since then, it's been progressing. And believe me, we're just scratching the surface, you know, like the iMate software, it's just, I can't develop it fast enough. Things are changing. We are learning so much these days, you know, like the science of epigenetics is just exploding. Because biotechnology and pharmacology, these sectors, they know how important it is to research the details of the genome and understand the interaction of all these tens of thousands of genes.
So let's break this down for a second. So electroacupuncture by Voll was one of the first machines that's able to measure. Could you just explain that to the listeners, what that is, and then how yours builds upon that and what the differences are?
So EAV basically measures the galvanic skin response, okay, which is really just the galvanic measurement of your skin. And it changes when it hits an acupuncture point. It significantly changes, and you can observe that with, you know, by measuring that. I think it's measured in, Faraday or something like that. It's an impedance. It's an impedance electrically, you know. And it was used to find acupuncture points. And of course, quantum biofeedback is based on. So, well, maybe I should start. It's a fusion of modern technology, you know, computer technology in particular, and ancient Chinese medicine in the acupuncture realm of things, right? So let me just quickly try to explain what I look at. So this qi energy that I hope everybody has heard about, right? The qi energy that flows in the meridians. Mm-hmm. And so that's a life force, and it's actually rather intense. And we do actually measure that energy and break it down into frequencies. And what I've learned is that this qi energy is actually cellular communication. That's how the cells communicate. They don't communicate through the nervous system. Cells communicate through this meridian system. It's the internet of the body. And the brain has to coordinate its activities with the rest of the body also through that same meridian system, right? So now, taking even another step further back, you know, one has to kind of look at, so how does life actually function? How does it work? How does life work on this planet anyway? Life happens at the interface of the environment, right? The environment and the DNA. The DNA holds the knowledge on how to respond to environmental demands, okay? And that interface and that exchange, that communication is energetic, it's not physical, okay? So part of that environment is the hamburger you had for supper, or okay, maybe you had a salad, doesn't matter. It's now inside your body, and your body has to deal with it. It has to digest it, it has to break it down, it has to extract the nutrients, it has to activate those nutrients, it has to absorb those nutrients, actually absorb first and then activate to get them to the cells where they are needed, right? And all this is organized by, besides enzymes, you know, by genes that literally make these enzymes. And those genes interact, they resonate with the frequencies of these ingredients, okay? It's not like there's no gene for hamburger, and there's no gene for peanuts, there's no gene for eggs, but let's go back to the hamburger. There are genes for iron. There are genes for animal fats. There are genes for vitamin B12. There are genes for protein and amino acids. And so it's those ingredients that resonate with certain genes, which then kick into action, turn on the enzymes, magically show up that need to digest that hamburger, and everything is just great and hunky-dory. Unless one of those genes is a bit mutated or not functioning properly, and then you can't digest the animal fat portion, or you can't digest, you can't extract the vitamin B12 out of that hamburger, and then in as a consequence, you become deficient in vitamin B12 and so on. And all this interaction, so we're made up of 100 trillion cells, right? So our DNA is in the body 100 trillion times, and there's a lot of coordination going on, and which requires communication. And this communication happens through the meridians, okay, where the 100 trillion cells coordinate basically survival, but just life itself.
So your machine, how is that interacting with the DNA and the cellular meridian communication?
All right. So these communications are subtle energies, okay? There are, so the iron in that hamburger has an innate frequency. The iron is kind of easy to comprehend because you just go to the periodic table, and you know the molecular weight of iron will generate a particular frequency. So that's easy to comprehend. But it is that innate frequency that everything has, every molecule, well, every atom, but then every molecule and everything has a particular innate frequency. So that iron in that burger will resonate with the gene that is responsible for the metabolism of that iron. It's actually a whole bunch of genes for iron, you know. It's more than one gene for vitamin B12 as well. So these frequencies are mixed in, you know, they're all together in this chi energy, which is, it is like the, you know, as I said, it's the internet of the cells. So we can intersect and literally measure these subtle energies, which are electromagnetic frequencies in the end, which is basically all energy is electromagnetic, but these are subtle electromagnetic frequencies, and they can be measured.
So let's say someone's listening and they're thinking their doctor has told them they're iron deficient. They're most likely going to be given a bottle of iron and told to take it. But it sounds like you're looking at this very differently. So what would that look like with your machine and in your office?
I don't have even one patient on iron pills. In fact, I take lots of people off of iron pills because that's medical thinking that doesn't jive with the physiology of things, you know, because more likely than not, unless you have been bleeding a lot or something physical like that, more likely than not, if you're iron deficient, it's because your body is not processing iron properly, okay? Because especially like here in central New York, and anyway, iron is the most abundant mineral on earth. Mm-hmm. It's not just in, you know, all the red rocks that you see everywhere, including here in New York, that's all iron. It's everywhere. It's in our well water. It's impossible to be deficient in iron, even if you don't eat red meat.
So what about when patients have blood work run and their ferritin is low and their iron is low and their TIBC is high and their, what does that mean to you?
Well, the only thing that means is that their iron metabolism is in disarray, okay? So rather than messing around with blood work, which really is... It doesn't really point towards a solution, you know. If you work energetically, the beauty about that is that you can immediately come up with a solution, you know, like what to do. Because now we're looking for which genes are low functioning that are responsible for iron metabolism. And we can identify them, at least the ones that are in the software now that, you know, we're still learning every day. I mean, that's why I'm saying epigenetics is on fire. We're discovering new genes daily. I read these papers every day of more and more genes and more detail about, you know, what used to be one gene 10 years ago has now morphed into 25 genes. Right. Because we have subdivided, we understand exactly this part of the gene does this, and this part of the gene detoxifies ibuprofen, and this part of the gene detoxifies Tylenol. And they're two separate segments of the, of a larger gene, you know, cytochrome 450 in this case. So we're learning rapidly. And what the iMeet can do, it can actually assess by measuring the activity within that chi energy, you know, by analyzing the cellular communication and what the cells are talking about, that this iron processing gene is not working very hard. It's kind of sleepy.
Is the machine just diagnosing, or are you then feeding back the frequencies to bring back? Is that
how that's the most fascinating part. So once you understand that the genes are resonant entities, then that opens the door to communicating with them with frequencies and in apostrophe upregulating their function, or just simply communicating with them through their innate frequency and actually overcoming mutations. This is called epigenetic change, you know, like Bruce Lipton explained that a good 20 years ago or so. And it's now, you know, very much, very much accepted science when you can overcome these epigenetic changes most effectively with frequencies. Now, sometimes you can also, of course, epigenetic changes come from all kinds of different directions, including diet and nutrition and things. And there's a whole new industry out there that looks at your DNA results and then advises you should be eating this and not be eating that. And what I do is we just, even with things like gluten allergy and what have you, we resonate this gene up in the proper function so it functions properly, overcome the mutations within that gene, and it will permanently work at a higher level, like a level it's supposed to be working at.
So, and you mentioned, because that is what a lot of physicians do now, we do a buccal swab and we get the genetics and then we see where the stars are and can support, for example, if your glutathione, S transferase is low, you can support. And so is that, do you do that as well, or you don't even need that? You just do it through the resonance?
Of course, as a doctor, I do that as well, if needed, you know. But the first thing I do is I identify that gene, the low functioning gene, and then upregulate it with the proper frequency. So your body will produce innately more of that glutathione.
Okay. So is that a one-time, like for someone who can't eat gluten, do they need to see you for one treatment, or is that multiple treatments? What does that look like clinically?
Well, that depends. There is a lot of difference between different people's health status. Some people have just a horrendous amount of mutations and some other people have fairly few. Everybody has some, you know. I mean, actually we have a lot. We have thousands. But it all depends on, you know, lifestyle choices, which, of course, that's part of the environmental component. And that can, of course, aggravate or make things worse, as you know. So to say how many treatments does it take?
I know there's a range, but what do you typically, yeah, like, have you ever seen just one treatment, or is it usually?
Oh, absolutely. So, for example, lactose intolerance, you know. I've treated many, many cases for classic lactose intolerance, one treatment, because it's very narrow. It's one gene. It's the gene that produces lactase, which is the enzyme that breaks down the lactose sugar. And one treatment, and that gene seems to be snapping back into action. Now, there's other things, you know, like, let's say, uric acid, which causes gout. Mm-hmm. Now, uric acid metabolism is a little bit more complicated, and you have to treat it from different angles. And in order to get rid of that gout condition, whether it's gout causes all kinds of problems, not just like a swollen big toe or something. It does everything from heart disease to migraines to, you know, all kinds of problems with gout. It usually takes more than one treatment, even though I've had some incredible results with just one treatment.
Is this something people have to come into the office for? Do you do distant, since it's energy?
Well, so now there's, of course, the phenomenon of when you work at this level with energy, right? You don't necessarily need a physical connection. You can actually work across space and time. In fact, it doesn't matter whether it's 1 foot or 1,000 miles. We call that metaspace. I mean, it's a well-documented phenomenon. We know it's there. It's the quantum space. It's, let's say, it's based on, you know, electrons are in different places at the same time, and they cannot be nailed down to a particular precision. You know, they're all over the place. But as far as the iMate is concerned, so, you know, there's the professional system where you have a harness that actually just measures the meridians directly. And then there's the Virtuoso, which works without interface system, without hardware. The fact that wherever there's energy flow, there's a perpendicular electromagnetic field around that energy flow. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's water or electricity or natural gas or a pipeline, wherever there's a flow of anything, there's an electromagnetic field around it. And this chi energy is so intense and so strong. There's a huge biofield around it, which is called body biofield, which is an official, you know, scientific name that you know, even the NIH has defined on their website. It's a scientific term. We are aware of it. It goes out at least 6 to 8 feet. It's measurable 6 to 8 feet. In reality, it goes out indefinite, you know, but you can also interact with that body biofield, and it has the same information as is inside the meridians. It's just perpendicular, you know, and going out and flowing like north to south.
How do you interact with it with someone who's not in your office?
Well, right. Well, that's what Metaspace does. You don't have to be present in the office. It will reach you no matter where you are.
I know sometimes, like, people give hair or you don't even get that.
No, we used to do all this stuff years and years and years ago. You don't need that anymore. You know, the Metaspace function of the iMate is so accurate and so overwhelmingly successful. It's amazing. You know, and it doesn't just do physical stuff like health issues and all. You can check out the emotions of your kid in college, like 500 miles away.
Well, let's talk about that. So you mean this can be like for stalking?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is interesting.
In fact, we just had a symposium in Fort Myers, the iMate symposium, and the head coach of the USA, Team USA field and track team, she uses the iMate to do just that, to monitor her athletes, to stay on top of what they're, you know, what's going on with them, whether they have a virus or whether they have emotional issues. Because when you compete at that level, I don't know if you watched some of the runners in Tokyo. I mean, the American girls that ran, I mean, they won all kinds of gold medals. I mean, they're top notch. It's amazing how they, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive how strong they are. And so needless to say, you have to be in top shape all around, physically, emotionally. And she's in charge of sorting all that out. You know, you don't want to send out an athlete that's emotionally in trouble and then he can't or they can't perform. So you can do all that because emotions also are frequencies. You know, they're a little bit more difficult to comprehend because they're not physical. It's easy, at least for me, it's easy to understand that, you know, iron has this frequency because it's a physical entity. Emotions, those frequencies are derived differently. They're derived from research.
So back to monitoring your college kid. So when you do that for people, do you have to get permission of the person who's being monitored?
Well, you know, monitoring is kind of a difficult word. You know, your monitoring would be over time. I mean, you just do an assessment. So, I mean, I don't do that unless somebody wants that to be done and if there's a purpose for it, you know. So most often that we do these kinds of things are, for example, with autistic children, you know. So we get a call in the middle of the night, you know, my kid is bouncing his head against the wall and he's freaking out. We don't know what to do. We're about to go to the emergency room, which they have done many times before. And then, well, in this case, we don't really do an emotional assessment. In that case, we measure the brain waves on distance. Like, well, this is semi-local, so we're talking about 15 miles or something. But nevertheless, there's no physical connection. And we can measure, number one, we can measure the brain waves and realize which of the waves are out of control. And then do a harmonizing feedback and calm that youngster down so he will stop doing that and possibly, you know, go back to sleep.
And this is with the child not being attached to any machine. This is in the...
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, it's really cool.
That's pretty phenomenal. So do you find that emotions are underlying a lot of the physical disease processes people come in with?
Well, of course, my style, you know, so healing is an art, and everybody develops their own art, you know, like the head coach, the Olympic head coach I mentioned, you know, she's developed some things that I've never done before. So that's the beauty about the iMade. You can do so many different things. I was mentioning the brain waves. You can do acupuncture. You can even do chiropractic with it. You can do chakras and, you know, and measure the hormones and balance the hormones and on and on. So different people will use and develop different skills and have different needs or demands for the equipment.
So are you the only one who has this, or do you train other doctors?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Yeah. I'm on my way out. I'm 70 years old. I'm teaching that to anybody that's interested and that will listen.
You've got my attention. It's pretty
simple. Well, it's an important tool. Everybody should have one, because, you know, let's say your kid or you have a sore throat. Well, so now what are you going to do? I mean, why do you have a sore throat? So the cool thing about the iMade is you will see most likely what causes that sore throat, you know? You can see if there is a bunch of strep bacteria, which could be the case, but more often than not, that's not really the case. It could be a virus. It could be a cold virus. It could be mold, you know? That's more often the case, like especially in kids that come from a school setting. So the ones that go to the pediatrician, they get put on antibiotics. And the ones that come to us, we do a treatment for mold. And because they're like renovating, like, you know, another room in the same building, and they're fine. They're good.
Do you give a lot of supplements or herbs or remedies to people that come to us?
Yes, of course. In the clinic, you know, I do. We have a huge dispensary with medicines of all kinds. But we use them as supportive, you know, to support the immune system, to repair tissue, to support the process of self-healing, which is very important, you know.
So you use a combination of...
Absolutely, yeah.
...the energy. And so... What is the SHOW method? Is that an acronym for something?
Yes. Well, so the SHOW method is exactly that. It's a healing technique. Okay. It's an epigenetic healing technique. So anybody that comes to our clinic, we start out with the SHOW method. It's an acronym. It stands for Australia's Holistic Options for Wellness, which it's just a name. It's trying not to catch any attention. Because I don't want, you know, I don't really want anybody to, that's what it is. So it doesn't offend anybody, especially anybody in the health department, you know.
I hear you. So, I left Stills so I could be Stills Holistic Options for Wellness. I could be doing this.
Exactly. So basically what it boils down to, and you can see that when you look at your DNA, it totally reflects that. The SHOW method basically harmonizes your basic metabolism, okay? Your vitamins, your minerals, your amino acids, your fatty acids. And when I say harmonize, meaning, you know, finding problems within, which are usually caused by mutations or SNPs, single nucleotide polymorphisms, or just variants. When it comes to allergies, you know, there's this leaky gut phenomenon, of course, but we fix that, of course, right away in the beginning, but very quickly, because if you engage the immune system in getting rid of the fungus, like the candida, literally that candida goes away within days, you know. The reason why people struggle with candida for so long is because, you know, the diet, the immune system is not involved. What we do, and I did that before the iMade, and I still do it with vials, by the way. You know, I mean, you can do the same thing with vials that have been imprinted with frequencies by a computer. A lot of practitioners use vials. It's just tedious and a little bit clumsy, you know, at this point. The advantage of the software is just that you have just thousands and thousands of different items at your fingertips, and it just widens the scope. You know, it gets pretty involved to the point where you can see long before there's, for example, a pathology, let's say a cancer lesion of some sort of tumor. You can see the tumor protein if it's in the software. So I only have, you know, maybe 4 tumor proteins, maybe 5 actual tumor proteins, you know, that the tumor produces. And a tumor starts with one cell, you know. And the beauty about these subtle energies and the IMID is it picks up things very early on. You don't need millions and millions of viruses to identify a virus. I mean, theoretically, a couple of viruses will do the trick and you will notice them. If you become aware of them that early on, it's very easy to get for the immune system to eliminate them. You know, once it's 100 million, it becomes a little bit more of a job.
And I was wondering with candida, because we see candida often as the body's natural response to a mercury overload, that the candida is trying to protect the body. I'm curious if you see that in your machine, that patients who carry high loads also are carrying loads of mercury.
Yeah, well, okay. Now, heavy metals, that's a difficult subject matter. So I'm very much functionally oriented, you know. So there's genes that are in charge of detoxifying heavy metals, right? So I always look out for them. Mm-hmm. If those genes are low functioning in the scan results, because I put them in a treatment and upregulate their function, I simply don't know whether candida is protecting. What did you say?
The protecting, where it's a terrain change.
Yeah.
Is mercury, the candida will sequester the mercury.
Right. I know parasites will sequester heavy metals, and you know, and there's all kinds of hiding. It's interesting when you study all these details. You know, everything is geared towards survival. Everything wants to survive. You know, the parasites want to survive. The bacteria want to survive, so they hide inside the parasites. The viruses want to survive, they hide inside the bacteria. So then there's biofilm. And now, as it turns out, I've been studying a lot recently, just cancer, you know, to come up with some protocols that I can actually teach. And it turns out, you know, a tumor does the same thing. They produce these tumor proteins, for example, they produce to, you know, mislead the immune system. And again, it's all about they want to survive and it wants to grow and get bigger. And so that's just the nature of things.
Exactly. Exactly. The math game of hide and go seek.
Yeah. It boils down to the fact that the sooner we become aware of these processes going on and then can intervene and give the body guidance, the better. And that's one thing you realize when you work with the software. It's just how busy the body is. It's incredibly busy and pretty much overwhelmed. You know, there's lots of gizmos out there that use frequencies, tons and tons and tons.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reason why the IMED is so effective is because it uses scalar frequencies and tri-vector technology. So that means there's never just one frequency coming out, because the body has this survival mechanism that, you know, it has to sort through so many different signals at any given time. Like, you're sitting in front of a computer, I'm sitting in front of the computer, so all this radiation is coming towards me, and then there's the lights, and then there's the phone, and this. So it has to make constantly a decision, do I deal with this environmental impact, or do I ignore it? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ignoring going on. So even when you do a feedback with a frequency, it will pretty quickly, it will try to ignore it, unless it's convinced that this is important for survival. That kind of treatment becomes ineffective quickly. So it's constantly changing. We're constantly sweeping the frequencies. So the body can never make that decision, okay, I'm ignoring you. You know, it keeps it engaged. That's one of the tricks anyway.
Is there a specific frequency, though, that you use to heal the DNA?
Well, I've got a tuning fork at 512 hertz or 526 or whatever it is. But there's over 70,000 frequencies in the IMATE, the software.
Mm.
Okay, and then I rarely only use one item. You know, it's always at least 10, between 10 and 20. So it's like a language to literally focus the body and combine different frequencies that make sense, you know, like layers, for example. When we talk about inflammatory triggers or allergies, there's certain things, I call them layers. So, for example, nightshade vegetables, you know, it's not just one vegetable. It's tomatoes, potatoes, and peppers, and eggplant, right? So you can do them together because the genes responsible for them are similar. So yeah, it's literally kind of the concept of a language. The fact is that the body is extremely busy keeping you alive, literally from minute to minute. And so if you just have gone picked up a virus last week or yesterday, and you know, it's killed a bunch of them, it's kind of getting on top of the situation, but here comes another virus, a new virus. So what's it going to do about the virus from yesterday? So yeah, it sequesters them. The body puts stores them in the liver. It's a favorite place to store stuff that it cannot finish. And this happens all the time, every day. And so when you see people walk around with these big tires around their upper abdomen there, you know, it's because the organs are swollen. The liver is swollen. It's full with goop, viruses, alive and dead viruses. What you can do with the iMate is you can focus the body. You can actually communicate with the body and say, okay, let's get rid of this virus, because this virus, cytomegalovirus, causes glioblastoma. We don't want that. We don't want to deal with brain cancer. We're going to focus for 2 weeks now to get rid of this chronic cytomegalovirus. And then you may have to repeat that every other day to keep the immune system to come back to this focus of cytomegalovirus.
And at the same time, you're giving remedies or drainage remedies. Are you doing other things?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And then that's a whole other skill, of course, is to find and know about the remedies. Some are mentioned in the software, but it's that kind of stuff is nice to do with muscle testing. But you know, we teach that type of thing with webinars, and there's a lot of information out there about supplements. I mean, there is good there's good knowledge out there about different supplements.
So you brought up, I have been jotting down questions I have for you, but you brought up muscle testing, which I read in your bio. You studied applied kinesiology, which I did as well with George Goodhart and all the biggies, and so
the pioneers.
Yes. Yeah. So I was very grateful that I had that opportunity, and brilliant. I mean, just such brilliance. So do you find this is more effective than muscle testing? Are you still using muscle testing? Where does that fit in?
Okay. So me personally, of course, I still use muscle testing. Yes. Now, as far as, so I use it in conjunction with the iMate, right? So for example, if you come to my office, there's different scans. So the basic scan has like 2,600 items, right? That's the entry point of just getting a snapshot of your metabolism right now. So there is so much going on. You know, you have to make decisions about priority, because right now you want to be precise. You don't want to treat everything all at once, because then you're just confusing things even more than they already are. So you do want to bring some focus into the situation. So you want to give instruction to the immune system or the body in general, like what to do. Like so for example, to implement an epigenetic change for lactose intolerance, it takes 24 hours. Okay, we live in 24-hour cycles. So when you change a gene, it takes 24 hours because we're not just changing the genes in a pancreas or in a small intestine or here or there. We're doing all 100 trillion cells in all 100 trillion copies of the DNA have to be kind of harmonized or changed and updated. And that process takes 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. The virus that's on everyone's mind. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on COVID and how you addressed that for patients that came in.
Oh, well, I'm glad you didn't ask me what I think where it came from, because I don't know.
Yeah, well, I can ask that.
No.
We don't hold back.
Well, at this point, everybody's had it, so natural immunity is there, so we're good. It's just another virus. It's just another virus. It's the Delta variant was a little bit tough. It's a tough one. It's a little bit scary. You know, it can be scary. I mean, it happens from time to time that a new virus comes around, and you have to, it's part of evolution, but basically epigenetically change to live up to be able to deal with this virus. And there's no way around it. So all the vaccinations in the world are not going to change that, especially for this virus. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not all the same, but this virus, you can't vaccinate away. It doesn't work that way.
Exactly.
I do these immune treatments. You know, there's an energetic kind of vaccination. I mean, you can introduce, I do this every day, introduce a virus to the immune system energetically, because that entire process, let's say the incubation period is 14 days, right? Only the very last step where the antibody actually presents then the virus to the macrophage to kill the virus, that very last step is physical. It's kind of a physical process. It digests it, it breaks it down, it kills it. Okay, everything else, all the cascade of events that have to happen, that takes about 2 weeks in a lot of cases of virus, it's all communication, it's all energy, it's all energetic, it's not physical. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you can present to the immune system a new virus energetically, and it can develop memory. Now, you know, I don't want to claim some things, it's difficult. We don't really have any research on that, but we need to do that kind of research.
It reminds me of what we do with homeoprophylaxis.
Yeah.
Same idea. So going back to the emotions before we finish up, I'm just curious if there's imbalanced emotions that you see more often than not, the frequency, especially with what we just went through with fear guiding so many people to make choices to get, you know, jabbed and to throw away all common sense. I'm just curious, like, do you see a lot of fear? Do you see a lot of anger? What do you think is, what's off with us humans?
Well, that's a loaded question. What's off with us humans? Well, there was a lot of fear out there, and I'm surprised. And you know where I come from? So, I mean, I'm not talking about emotions. I'm just talking about really a philosophy right at the moment. And that is what I do with my method and with my work and with the IMAID system is I give people confidence into their own bodies, because these, between the government and the pharmaceutical companies, I mean, the body doesn't even count anymore. It doesn't even matter. It's all... I mean, and people are, they're insecure and they're scared. Yeah. And they are very dependent on this system that has gone out of control. What the IMAID does in energy medicine, what I call precision energy medicine does, is it A, makes you aware of your predispositions and your weaknesses, and it gives you a tool and a way to strengthen those and overcome those. And it makes you totally independent. You don't need no medication, and you don't need all this jazz that, I mean, it's sometimes a bit painful to watch, you know. And as soon as your thyroid is the number is a little bit high, you go to the doctor and you immediately walk out with a prescription and the problem is solved. Nobody ever says, well, why is your thyroid under-functioning? Or you know how it is. It's not just the thyroid. It's everything, cholesterol and sugar. You know, nothing needs to be changed. Your lifestyle just keep on going. And here's the pill. And the problem is solved. And that is obviously not a solution. In fact, it's very dangerous.
I love that. That's just such a beautiful thought to leave the listeners with about, it really is about becoming independent and not dependent and trusting your body and not being in fear, which is how so much of medicine that's delivered today in the States is coming from. So one last question, because we're talking about frequencies, could the Schumann frequency, could you just talk about that a little for the listeners?
I told you that the IMAID has over 70,000 frequencies, right? Mm-hmm. So the Schumann frequency is one frequency. It's basically the frequency of the Earth, kind of, because the Earth also has a frequency, whatever, 8-point-some hertz. I don't particularly use that, let's say, I use it on myself just by, when you walk barefoot in the grass, for example. Earthing, right. So I do that personally for myself, and I tell people to do that. It's a good thing. And Presumably, it has something to do with the Schumann frequency. But as a clinician, and as far as the software is concerned, I'm very much focused on being able to communicate with certain segments of, you know, basically the DNA to focus it on, because it's your DNA that's working for us, you know. They're really, these genes, they do work. They work. And when you look at it and study it and look at the variants and the SNPs and the mutations, you know, it there's anywhere from not working at all to working at 30%, to working at 60%, to working at 80%. And then, of course, there's certain genes that work at 120%. For example, I have a variant in the caffeine detoxification gene. I'm a fast caffeine detoxer, which I look at as an advantage because theoretically I could drink a cup of coffee at 7-8 o'clock at night and I'd be fine. I can go to sleep at 11. Like
total opposite. Yeah.
There is a variant, but they really work. And you have to watch some of these videos I show them at my seminars, you know, how quickly, how there's millions of these processes going on right now as we speak in everybody's body, in your body, in my body. It's not millions, it's billions of, you know, proteins being manufactured and things being broken down and recycled. It's mind-boggling when you look at how much stuff happens at the metabolic level in a human body.
Yes, it is. I said that was my last question. I have one more quick question and then we're gonna wrap things up, unfortunately. But you know how you can go on like YouTube and you can listen to frequencies?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of those? Because I do that a lot. I have it playing in the background. I tell patients to do it. Do you think that's beneficial?
It is. Of course, sound is a whole nother category of frequencies, you know, and it's very involved. And you can. So I don't know if you've heard of Sherry Edwards. She's kind of the guru of, at least in my book, of contemporary sound therapy, let's say. And, you know, she does the voice print and all that, because the voice, it's a muscle, you know, and you can analyze it. It tells you a lot about what's going on. I mean, she identifies a virus with your voice print. You know?
I'm getting trained in that. I think it's super cool.
Yeah. So sound is very, very important. Yeah. And we have some on the iMate. It's a work in progress. I'm working on doing the feedback sessions with sound and video besides the electromagnetic feedback.
Yeah, very nice. So, well, this has been very enlightening. Are there any last nuggets or words of wisdom you want to share with the listeners before we wrap it up?
Well, so, you know, as I was mentioning, one thing that was kind of painful for me to watch the last 2 years was the insecurity of so many people and how easily they were led to believe that we all have to kind of hide in our houses and we can, you know, because of this virus. And, you know, so I've had a couple of interesting conversations today in my practice. You know, I've got some teachers. And in New York, you know, they just last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, they finally stopped the mask mandate for children in school.
Yes.
Okay. For more than 2 years, they were wearing masks. Well, they stayed at home for an entire year, and then they were wearing masks. So now that everybody dropped their mask and they haven't really socialized for 2 years, so everybody's sick instantly. Like mm-hmm. The whole school, all the schools are sick now. The kids are all sick.
I wonder why.
Yeah. So now, just 2 weeks ago, the mandate was you were not allowed to take the mask off, and the teachers had to enforce that, right? Now, it's you're not allowed to tell a kid that is sneezing and that's obviously sick to put a mask on, which would maybe make sense for a day or so, you know, either go home or put a mask on so you don't get everybody else sick. But we haven't, like,
I know, and I'm trying to figure out how they just did such a bad face all of a sudden I don't know what happened. I mean, I'm very happy that they took the masks off and that we can go to Broadway again and see a show if we want and all these things, but it just seems like they were so insane about it, and overnight they just change their minds. I'm not sure what's happening there.
No, I don't understand the politics, or I'm in denial. But you know, COVID is or any virus, it's the immune system can handle it, and the most important thing is to become aware of things early. You know, like basically when you go to the doctor to get antibiotics, your infection has been present for weeks, and now things are totally out of control. The immune system has finally lost the battle altogether, and you need help. But if we were a little bit earlier aware of these processes, we would do much better, much better. And then if we actually have a tool and the wherewithal to communicate with the immune system and focus it on anything, whether it's a bacteria, virus, or something else, it's a wonderful thing, you know? And we need to do that. We need to do that. And it builds confidence. And not only does the immune system build memory, as you know, every time it defeats something, it builds memory. When you have Lyme disease, right, and you do all these antibiotics and all this stuff, and you still have Lyme and never really get rid of it, if you do it this way, not only do you get rid of it quickly, and you realize all the co-infections and get rid of them as well, but now your immune system knows how to get rid of these things, how to fight them, and should they ever show up again, it is ready to fight them immediately.
Exactly. The immune system needs a little boot camp training, Will, to help it. And yes, prevention, awareness, all such important things. So thank you. Thank you for sharing with our listeners. And if people want to contact you or learn more about you, how can they find you?
So the software website is imate.com, imaet.com. Mm-hmm. And then our educational website for, you know, the seminars and the show method and such is smarthealth4u.org.
Smarthealth4u.org. Wonderful. We'll have a show page with all of that and the information. And I thank you so much for being here. It's been a fun conversation, and I thank everyone for being here and listening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And as always, I invite you to practice radical self-care, and so many things inspired me from this conversation. I would say, get your shoes off and get in the ground, connect to the Schumann resonance, connect to the earth. It's good medicine. And remember, we will be back in 2 weeks. I will miss you all next week, but just makes the excitement more to see you when we're back in 2 weeks. So stay well, and we'll see you then. Bye now. This podcast was brought to you by the Bioregulatory Medicine Institute, a nonprofit organization committed to showing you medicine from a different perspective. Come join our tribe at brmi.online and find us at BRMI across all social media platforms. And most importantly, come back next week where I'll have another great guest, and we'll be sharing more information on how you can heal your body naturally. BRMI receives its nonprofit status as a greenhouse initiative of the Marian Institute. Have you noticed that this podcast does not have any commercials? We are not selling any products such as supplements or devices like so many other websites. That's because we do not want corporate sponsors to tell us what to say or not to say. BRMI is strictly a nonprofit, non-commercial institute, and you will see this reflected in all of our information platforms, including this podcast, our YouTube channel, our website, and our social media platforms. You will never see ads or pop-up ads on our websites or here in the podcast. BRMI is committed